Hello, hello, hello. It's Dr. Steve McKinley here again with the Digital Ethics Podcasts. And in this podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about security, cybersecurity. So we're at chapter 6 of the Tavani textbook. The slides are up, my chapter summary's up. I created a quiz and I've got some revision questions. And to be honest, I'm not going to talk too much in this first podcast. I just basically want to introduce the idea of security. I want everyone to have a read of the chapter, or at least have a read of my chapter summary, and maybe have a look at the PowerPoint slides and have a go at the quiz. But I'm just going to talk for, 5 or 10 minutes or so, a little bit about security and trying to make the distinction between security and privacy, which I think is important. So we'll look at what kinds of violations of cybersecurity can occur, and then we'll just finally start considering some of the ethical issues. I'm not entirely sure whether I'll make a second podcast this week. I know I've been a little bit late with this podcast, but all the assignments have come in, as you know, and also I worked pretty hard to try and get the second assignment up, moderated and up on Moodle, which is there now. I will make a little podcast probably next week sometime, talking a little bit about the assignment, but in the meantime, have a look at the assignment. Essentially, what I'm asking you to do is to pick any subject that you find interesting in digital ethics and write a research paper on it. So I'll talk about that in a podcast next week. So anyway, computer security, cyber security, I'm sure some of you will have a reasonable understanding of this, so I apologize in advance if this is all fairly obvious to most of you. But some of the topics that are related to computer and cybersecurity are to do with issues of let me just back the truck up a little bit here. What I wanted to say first is that most people, when you talk about computer security, to most people, they think about whether computer systems can be hacked, or whether someone can get into data or into databases that they're not supposed to be. But there are some other issues as well that are related to cybersecurity. And in the Tavani text, he summarizes some of them. And they're issues to do with reliability. So the reliability of IT systems is really closely related to security, because you can often have somebody that might inadvertently cause a problem within an IT system or a computer system, even though it's not intentional. So some breaches of security are often inadvertent or unintentional. So reliability and availability are two big topics that come up with related to computer security, cybersecurity. Also, system safety, potentially for safety critical type systems. Security around those kinds of systems is really important. You don't want people messing about in computer systems that control dams and so on and so forth. Obviously, data integrity is really important. So anyone that's done any of my database classes will know a little bit about data integrity, ensuring that constraints and so on are applied within databases, and security is implemented within databases. And then obviously confidentiality and privacy are two important issues as well. So in the textbook, Tavani talks about, or he gives another author, a guy called Epstein, who defines computer security across three different elements, and that is confidentiality, integrity, and accessibility. So it's often a balancing act between these three concepts. So confidentiality, of course, is the focus on protecting data or IT systems against unauthorized access. So people that aren't meant to be snooping around or looking around in databases or in different systems don't get access to them. Integrity is about ensuring that unintentional or intentional modification of data doesn't occur. So I say that this could be inadvertent as well, because it could be the accidental modification of data, even though a person wasn't meaning to be malicious, they could still potentially cause problems in a database if they didn't know what they were doing. So that's part of the deal with computer security as well. And then accessibility is important. So you want to make sure you're going to balance these ideas against the idea that the people that are meant to be getting access to IT systems do get access to them. So accessibility is an important concept as well. And then Tavani introduces another author called Newman, and Newman extended this kind of concept of security to also consider things like misuse, the misuse of IT systems, accidental deletion of data, or accidental messing about with computer systems that cause a problem, but just not intentionally malicious, but just by accident, and also malfunctions as well. So the idea here is that we've got, like I said before, there's this kind of balancing act. It's a balancing act between ensuring that we protect privacy of data and IT systems and so on, and that we don't undermine freedom of access for legitimate users to get access into that system. One of the things that I often find interesting with students when I get them to build databases in my database classes and getting them to implement security on the database systems is that people tend to want to lock down computer systems really, really tightly. Somebody doesn't puts the wrong password in three times and then suddenly they get locked out. These types of precautions are often implemented on IT systems. You have to be a little bit careful about this, because what happens is if you're a system administrator and you're putting really tight security controls on all your IT systems, you're just going to be overwhelmed with people calling you up, can you reset my password? I got locked out of the system and so on. So you have to be, it's definitely a balancing act, IT security. You've got to make sure that, of course, your systems are secure and safe, but you also have to balance that between allowing people to get access to the system and not overwhelming your help desk with calls of reset my password or I've locked myself out of the system, that kind of thing. Then what is discussed in the text is a distinction between computer security and computer crime, or just a bit of a discussion about computer crime. So it's pretty much accepted that intentional violations of security within an IT system are usually criminal in nature. So if you're intentionally hacking into an IT system that you're not meant to be in, it's either a privacy breach or it could be a criminal matter. But not every instance of crime is a violation of computer security. So just think about that for a second. Not every instance of computer crime involves a breach or a violation of security. So for example, you might make copies of software or music or a movie or something like that. That's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. It's illegal when it's a computer. It's a crime using a computer, but it's not necessarily a violation of computer security. Somebody might stalk somebody in cyberspace or use computers to stalk somebody, or somebody might be bullying somebody online. Hate crimes and so on, distributing child pornography, these sorts of things. They're all criminal acts, but they're not necessarily the result of insecure computer systems. So that's just an important thing to remember. And there's lots of other types of computer crime as well. So obviously computers can be used for fraud and financial crimes. Cyber terrorism, which I'll talk a little bit about in it's Friday today, so maybe tomorrow or early next week I'll talk a little bit about cyber terrorism. Cyber extortion, so there's the famous cases of ransomware that would get onto your system, and then you would have to the criminals might say, if you pay us $400 in bitcoins or something, we'll unlock your computer system again. Never a good idea to pay ransom money to anyone. If that ever happens to you, hopefully you'll have all your data backed up somewhere else and you can just rebuild your computer. That would be my suggestion. There's an interesting case of cyber warfare involves the thing called the Stuxnet worm, which was a worm program that was used to infiltrate Iranian uranium refinement systems. So that's in the textbook, but also if you just Google search Stuxnet, you'll find out some interesting information about the Stuxnet worm. Also, computers could be used as a target for viruses, denial of service attacks, malware, ransomware, and so on and so forth. Hate crimes is another type of computer crime, harassments and cyberbullying, and so on and so forth. So these are all examples of cybercrime. There's a bit of discussion in the textbook about the distinction between privacy-related issues and concerns and security-related concerns. So the two concepts are definitely related. They're kind of two sides of the same coin, if you like, but there's also a bit of a distinction. So with privacy, we're concerned about losing control of our data or our personal information, or organizations are concerned about losing proprietary information that might be valuable to the organization and so on. And then security concerns are a little bit different. So we want to implement security such that we can, potentially keep private our personal data and so on. So the issues to do with privacy are related to the fear that individuals or organizations might have their data accessed by people who have no legitimate need for it or right to access it. And they might also be concerned with worries that your personal data or proprietary information could be retrieved and maybe altered or messed about with by people who are not authorized. So let me carry on. I'm looking at the slides at the moment, and I'm up to about slide 13, and there's an interesting point made about sometimes the objectives of privacy and security can be at odds with each other. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. There's a sort of tension between these two concepts. So we want to keep our personal data private and secure, but we also want to ensure that the right people have access to information when they need it for the right reasons, right? Then Tavani talks about three different concepts to do with cybersecurity, or three different areas where we need to be concerned about threats to security. And one is data, the other one is the system itself, and the final one is computer networks. So with data, that's relatively obvious and straightforward. We want to ensure that data in databases or in files is kept secure. In terms of the system itself, we might need to be concerned about viruses or malware or malicious computer programs or worms and so on attacking the system or that application software or the operating system. And then the networks themselves can also be vulnerable to security breaches. And there's good examples. If you think about the PlayStation network, which was hacked quite a few years ago, that was one of the most famous examples of an entire network being compromised. There were issues to do with parts of the internet were taken down in California several years ago, taking out Netflix and Spotify and so on and so forth. So those three areas are the areas that where you need to focus on, or with, data security issues that might affect the confidentiality, the integrity and availability of information in IT systems. It's also, I think I've already mentioned this, but I'll just worth mentioning again, it's really important to note that not all breaches of data security are intentional. We also need to protect data from inadvertent and accidental access. And, personally myself, I've had to come to the rescue of lots of people in the past because they didn't have their data secured properly, or they were a little bit loose with where their data was, and they lost files or they lost data out of spreadsheets and so on because somebody had gone in and messed about with them and messed up their data. So it's important to implement data security, not just to protect from illegal or unauthorized access, but also just to prevent people from accidentally messing up data. So A guy who is quoted in the Tavani text called Spinello kind of comes up with this definition of what is required for data security. And I'll just read out this quote to you. And so Spinello's sort of definition of data security, what's required for data security, is defined by proprietary or sensitive information under one's custodial care is kept confidential and secure. That information being transmitted is not altered in form or content and cannot be read by unauthorized parties, and that all information being disseminated or otherwise made accessible through websites or online repositories, or actually indeed wherever, databases, networks and so on, is as accessible and reliable as possible. So that's Spinello's sort of definition. There is a little bit of discussion in the text about worms and viruses. I'm fairly sure everyone here knows the difference between a worm and a virus, right? Just to remind you, if some people are not quite sure, the difference between a worm and a virus tends to be, a piece of malicious software that's attached to a file or something. So, you know, you click on an attachment to an email address and it has a virus and it infects your infects your computer system. So you normally have to do something to invoke a virus. So back in the bad old days when we used to have floppy disks or 3.5 inch disks, viruses were often transmitted by trying to boot up off a floppy disk. This is like, probably doesn't make any sense to you guys these days, but back in the early 1990s, we used to have boot disks that you would put in a machine to boot your computer up, and viruses used to get around that way. But then they evolved, and they became, you know, people built much smarter viruses. There was a really, really nasty virus called the I Love You virus, which really corrupted IT systems. There's been some pretty bad viruses, and then the kind of more recent approaches have been things like ransomware systems like CryptoLocker, which would, if you got that on your system, it would just basically encrypt your entire hard drive, and you know the people that sent that out would try and extort money from you to basically unlock your IT, your computer again. So that was a virus, but a worm is typically a piece of self-replicating code that just spreads around networks and doesn't require any human interaction. So these are pretty smart pieces of software, and a really good example of one is the Stuxnet worm, which I talked about, which was created allegedly by the US and Israeli governments to sabotage Iranian nuclear equipment. So that's actually a really interesting story. It's worth looking up, worth reading about, and just getting to know. It's a very good example of a worm being created by a government, potentially information warfare or cyber warfare. It could be construed as. What else is it worth talking about here? I think, how long have we been going for? I've been talking for almost 18 minutes, so I might cut it short here. And that's basically just an introduction to computer security, cyber security, and some of the issues that come up. In the next podcast, which may not be up for another day or two, but it kind of joins into what I'm talking about in next week's topic anyway, which is warfare and cyber terrorism, and I'll also be talking about hacking in the next podcast as well. So this week's been a little bit sort of chilled. I wanted people to have a little bit of a break after handing the assignment, and once again, thanks to everyone who got the assignment in. I've had a really good response to that. I'll get into marking them as soon as I can, and I'll post a message once everything's marked, but to be honest, it's probably going to take me a couple of weeks. I have about 85 students across two campuses, so it's going to take a while to mark those assignments. In the meantime, try and keep up with the reading, guys. Have a crack at the quiz if you like, and have a look at the next assignment. And as I say, I'll also talk about the next assignment in a podcast very soon. Have a good weekend, guys, and I'll talk to you soon.